Well, I'm glad you're here this morning, and we're going to talk about light. We've been talking about light for the last few weeks, and I'm going to continue to talk about light, and I'm going to get Billy to punch up a few scriptures for me so I don't have to go back and turn to them, and we're going to go to 1 John, Billy, and 1 John 1:5. If you'll punch that up, we want to look at this, and I think we need to know God and know His character and who He is, and I was visiting with Jeff Spring yesterday, and he came down and was trimming my horse's feet, and we was visiting. He, of course, he's pastoring a church now in Louisiana, and we were talking and visiting, and we was talking about believing, and how there's so many people that when you ask them if they're a believer, their thought are, we're asking, are you a born-again Christian? And many times that is true. That's what we're asking. Are you a believer? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you born again? But we was both talking about how there's so many people in the body of Christ that don't believe things about God. Or they believe things about God that are not true. They'll believe more about what's not true about God than they will about what's true about God. Did you ever notice that? And I'm trying my best, and I've always done it for years, because God is a good God. We know that here, don't we? He's a good God. Now, I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, if you was an enemy to Israel and you was an enemy to God, you was in trouble. It's just that way. But I'm telling you, God is a good God. Anybody hear Jensen Franklin this morning? Anybody listen to Jensen Franklin on mercy? Oh, my goodness. And he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, which was the mercy seat. And he said, what mercy is mercy keeps us from getting what we deserve. God's mercy, what keeps us from getting what we deserve. And you know, that's true. And God's a merciful God. And the Bible says His mercies are new every single morning. Do you know when you get up in the morning, God's mercy's new that day for you? And that's preventing us from getting what we deserve. Thank God, and thank God for grace, His unmerited favor. Amen. And so a lot of times when we talk about God and the whole purpose of, I guess what I'm talking about right now, light and darkness, is so we can see the contrast between and through and see what God is and what we talked about Wednesday night. Y'all heard me talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And the devil is the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world. And the Bible shows us that. And he received that place when Adam gave it up and gave it to him. So the devil is likened to darkness and God is likened to light. I mean, or well, put it this way, the devil is dark and God is light. And we're living a world right now where we see that all the time. I mean, we see darkness and light. You see it in nearly any movie. Do you notice that? It's always good and bad, evil and good. And nearly in every movie, every show, everything that you see, everywhere you go, you can go wherever you go, you hear it on the news, dark, evil and good, murders, killing, all kinds of destruction out there. And some people have a hard time with the fact, they say, well, if God's a good God, why does all this happen? Well, there's a devil that he's not so good. And that's why we have to get right with God and get in our place with God so we'll know and understand our authority that we have in God. And we see things always popping up. In fact, we may do this at the end of the service, because the Bible says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says that we ought to pray for those in authority over us, for kings and rulers and authorities. Well, our king, we don't have a king, but we have a president. And we've had a lot of presidents. I think this is the 45th president, and I think he is the 45th. And so we've had 45 presidents, and God never told us not to pray for any of them. One thing about it is that whether we voted for them or not, they're our president, and it's our obligation. Why? He said, here's why you're to pray for them, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen? And so we are to pray for them. It actually says, first of all, pray. That should be what we pray for first. And when I see the decisions that some of these governors and stuff are making right now, one of the darkest blights on our nation is abortion. Where they put trying to press it, where you, even after that baby's born, after it's born, that mother and that doctor can decide whether to kill it or not. And it's born. I don't know if you know it, but that's murder. That's murder. And several states already have passed that. They've already done that. Well, we are to pray for them. We are to pray for them because that's not the will of God. Amen. Regardless of what your view is, that's not God. That's not God. I believe that's why he's telling us you need to pray for your nation, your leader. Listen, when I pray, I go for the president, the senators, the congressmen and women, the Supreme Court justices, the cabinet members, all the appointees. I go to all that way down to the city and county officials, those that are over our kids, those that are over our cities, those that are over our counties and such as that, that God will give them wisdom, that God will cause them to make the right decisions and right choices concerning this nation and the people of this country. Amen. And we need to do that. Plead the blood of Jesus over and pray for him. And listen, God told Kenneth Hagin, some of you may not know who Kenneth Hagin is, and he's got a book out, The Art of Intercession. And he said, God told him, he said, I'm not going to hold the world accountable the way this, I'm not going to hold the world accountable to the way this nation goes. I'm going to hold the church accountable because they can pray and change it. Because they can pray and change it. So we have a responsibility to pray. And pray for our leaders, whether we like them or whether we don't like them. It's our responsibility to pray for them. Come on, church. And we're not. You know, we got to understand that we cast our vote and all, but we have to cast our prayer. Our prayer as a whole is just as much our responsibility as our vote. Amen. And so we've been talking about a light and darkness, and we sure see it in the world today. And in 1 John 1:5, it says this, and thank you for keeping it up there, Billy. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is what?
Light.
And in him is no darkness at all. And in him is no darkness at all. The Message Bible says God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. The Amplified says God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. No, not any way. God is light, and listen to me. It says in Isaiah, jump up if you will to Isaiah 5:20. Billy will put it up here, and it says this. It says verse 5:20. I've done read these, so I'm just going through them pretty fast. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Man, we see that today all the time. People calling things that are good, bad, and things that are bad, good, and things that are light, darkness, things that are darkness, light. I mean, it happens all the time. But notice what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, verse 20, listen, it says, what sorrow for those who say. Listen, there's something that happens when people begin to say that. Why? Because we can have what we say, and our words, in our words, there's life or death. Amen. It says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. And I'm telling you, we got to be careful at what we connect with. And our words is usually what is the connecting force. Y'all hearing me? Usually our words are the connecting force that connects us to whatever the world's trying to present to us. Our words. Well, I agree to that. I believe that. Well, you're connecting with something. So you better be careful what you're connecting with. And so he says, what sorrow they have who called good, bad, and such as that. And in Isaiah 8, I don't think I read this scripture yet. Now, we're talking about light and darkness, right? 18. It says, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, we could say fortune tellers nowadays, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. You said the Bible says the entrance of thy word gives light. If you're going to have light in you, and if you're going to know the difference between light and darkness, you're going to have to know the light. Amen. And because most, you know, you see today, and I know y'all see, heard all these things and such as that, and I'm not on the soapbox, understand, but as your pastor, you've got to be aware of things that's going on. And, you know, just like they had a minister was on some kind of a talk show one time, and I forget what talk show it was, and there's people that didn't believe the Word of God. You know, many times when people try to get preachers on a secular talk show, it's not to hear what they have to say, it's to tell them what they believe, right? It's not for them to school them, it's for them to be schooled. And so that one talk host asked that preacher, said, when are y'all going to pull that Bible into the 21st century? In other words, when are y'all going to realize that this is the way it is now? Let me tell you something. My Bible says, I am the Lord and I change not. My Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My Bible says that God will watch over His word to perform it. And I'm telling you what, I don't care if they say this is a new normal or not. We better stay with the old reality and the old truth. And that's the God, Word of God. Because I'm telling you, the devil's trying to hoodwink people into thinking darkness is light and light is darkness. And we can't afford to go down that path in the day in which we live. And the New Living Translation says, look to God's instructions and teachings, verse 20. People who contradict His word are completely in the dark. Are completely in the dark. People who contradict His word or His teachings are completely in the dark. We don't want to be in the dark, do we? Look in Isaiah 60. Isaiah, I like Isaiah. I like his book. In verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light is come. And I know he's talking about Jerusalem, but I tell you what, he's also talking about the church. We're in connection to that. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. I'm telling you, I think the church is about to become the brightest light the world has ever seen. And listen to me, when you said, behold, your light's come, and behold the darkness, do you know that word darkness? And I'm not going to try to say what the Hebrew word says, because I can't pronounce it anyway. But anyway, here's what it says. It says, and the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. This is what that word darkness means. It means misery. It means destruction. It means death. It means ignorance. It means sorrow. It means wickedness. It means night and obscurity. He says, going to cover the earth. How many knows it's pretty well working on covering it right now? If it hadn't already. And then it said, gross darkness will cover the earth. And we see all those things, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get hooked in people says, well, that must be the will of God. Let me tell you something. If it's not good, it's not the will of God. If it's not good. So if you're trying to figure out is this God or is this not God, just figure out, is it good or is it not? Anybody in the house? Is it good or is it not? Because I'm telling you something. God is a good God, and He's being portrayed as evil. Am I right? But He's a good God. You know, I'm a good daddy. I'm a real good daddy. I love my kids. Do I got any good daddies in the house? Come on. Any good daddies? Raise your hand if you're a good daddy. If you don't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're not. You're a good daddy. And I've got news for you right now. God's a better one than you are. God's a better one than I am. Amen. And I can promise you this, I would never, never harm my children in any way, form, or fashion. Never. Never. Because I'm a part of God. God's in me. God's a part of my life, and I'm a part of God's life. And I'm telling you something, if we would realize it and put ourselves in the position and say, I tell you what, I want the best for my kids. I remember I did a funeral for a guy's grandson. It was his grandson. And when I got through doing his funeral and such as that, he come up to me and he said this to me, I wish I could have took his place. I wish that would have been me instead of him. I wish he could still live. Well, that's the heart of a granddad. That's the heart of somebody that loves their kids. Huh? I'm telling you, and listen to me, God loved us so much that he did exactly that. He sent his son to take our place in death, in sickness and disease, in poverty and in lack. He was our substitute. Amen. He loved us so much. We just got to get our thinking straight when it comes to the goodness of God and the wickednesses in the world that we say, well, this all must be of God, because I heard somebody else told me one time, they said, if God was good, there wouldn't be all this evil and all this stuff in the world, that all this stuff. I said, listen to me, God's good. He made a provision for us through Jesus Christ to get us out of that darkness and into light. And we'll read those scriptures here in a little while if we get to it today. Not. Y'all think I'm staying here a long time, don't you? When I say we get to it tonight. And so when we understand there's light and dark, everybody say there is light and there is darkness right here on the earth. Praise God, we don't have to be caught up in the darkness part of it. Amen. Praise God. Look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's run to the New Testament. I tell you, I read this, I just get excited. I'm a part of the light. I'm going to read scripture. I don't know how much I'll elaborate on different ones, but I just want to read some scripture to you. Matthew 4, 16. I'm going to have to let Billy do it. I'm totally off. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. And he talked about different cities and the land of Zebulun, Naphtali, and he talked about those cities. They were sitting in darkness, and all of a sudden Jesus showed up. He was the light. And I'm telling you, we were sitting in darkness until light showed up. Did you know until you got born again, you were dark? Huh? And you sat in darkness, but light showed up. But you know, light can show up and we still not see the light. I hope that makes sense to you. Because there's a lot of folk I know and a lot of folk you probably know that don't see the light because they're sitting in darkness. Listen, it's amazing how the Bible says to get the wisdom of God and to understand God, you have to be born again. Now, everybody you know can understand this. God loves you. He died for you. He gave his life for you, and if you accept him, you can be born again. Nobody is so ignorant that they can't get that. But to know God and to understand the Bible, you're going to have the Spirit, the Holy Ghost in you. Your spirit's going to have to be alive for you to connect with a living Word. And God wants us to know him. Oh, he wants us to know us. That's why he said in Deuteronomy, he said, listen, I'm going to place before you a death and life, blessing and cursing. And he said, oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. I want you to choose life. Please choose life. And so God puts things out there and presents them to us and then gives us a choice. And I know some people get aggravated about a choice. Y'all hear that pin drop on this carpet? Well, I wish I didn't have to make choices. I'm so glad I get to make choices. I was sitting at my desk last night thinking, what if every car was the same color? What if everyone was the same make and model? You wouldn't have to go shop, would you? Huh? I mean, what if every shirt had to be red? What if you walked in your closet and all you had was red clothes? You wouldn't have to worry about what am I going to wear today? Huh? No choices. There would only be one store, one dealership. What if they didn't make Bluebell ice cream in different flavors? Vanilla would be all right. What if you went to McDonald's and there wasn't a menu? Here's your burger, fries, get. Have you ever been to McDonald's behind somebody that stands 30 minutes looking at the menu? It ain't changed. It ain't changed. You walk in there and it's the same menu it was when they started nearly. And I'm thinking, Bubba, listen, you're either getting a burger or fries or you're going to get something similar to that because that's all they got. Why are you taking so long? Huh?
And then you let patience kick in.
And do its work. Or when you got a hankering for ice cream. And you go look in the ice cream deal and they got all kinds of flavors. And you're working, you're checking up on your taste buds to see if what's going to sound good to you right now. And you look in there and you look and you look and you look and you look and you think, my God, I got a lot of choices here, which is wonderful. I know I went in there the other day and I ain't bought ice cream in forever. And I walked past that thing, walked past that ice cream, Brookshire's, and walked past it, and all of a sudden it says, hey. You ever heard that voice when you walk past something? Hey. I said, what up? And I looked in there and I looked a little while and come out with a little bit of it. I told my wife, I bought you some. I know you ain't going to eat it. So I went ahead and bought you some anyway. You know why I did that? Because I eat it. But all these choices... And I'm telling you, there's light and there's darkness, and it's going to be that way for as long as we're on this planet. Because when we get to heaven, guess what? There's no darkness. There, you can't find a dark hole in heaven. If you got a closet in your house, it's lit up in heaven. You can look behind your dresser, and it's light. You say, you think we'll have all that in heaven? I don't know. We got a mansion. I'm at least going to go look at it when I get there. After a while, I'm going to go look at it anyway. I don't know if I'll spend much time there, but I'm going to look at it anyway. But the thing about it is, we're living in and where people don't know the difference between light and they don't know the difference in darkness. In fact, they call light darkness, darkness light. They call good evil, evil good. And they call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. And there's people confused. What is God? What's He like? If He's a loving God, why is all this trouble on the earth? Because God created it not to be all that trouble on the earth. He started it out where it's going to be the Garden of Eden, a perfect, perfect, and no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack, not even sweating when you work. You never have to, how would you like to have a yard that was totally manicured all the time? Temperature stayed the same until they sold out to the devil. And that's when darkness came into the world. And that's when thorns and thistles began to grow. And that's when men had to work by the sweat of their brow. That's when women started having pain in childbirth. That's when sickness and disease came in. That's when poverty and lack came in. That's when all those things came in. God didn't intend for it to be that way. I said, God didn't intend for it to be that way. I wish we were still in the garden myself. There would be no convenience stores. You said, oh, no, 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 I don't want to be there then. I like that mall shopping. I like to shop. Blue light specials. Look in Matthew 5. I don't know why I said all that. Trust me, Bluebell does not give me a kickback on what you buy. I wish they should. I wish they would. Matthew 5:14 says this. He says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where, listen to what it says, where it gives light to everyone in the house. Everyone in the house. In the same way, I'm reading this in the New Living Translation, I'm sorry. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now listen to this, there's something important here. It says you are the light of the world, but your light's going to do no good if you cover it up or hide it all the time. He says, what that light's designed to do, and he's telling us we are the light of the world, your light is to be standing out where people can see it. But here's the deal. He says it's placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in where? The house. Did you know not everybody we're around is in the light? But they can be. They're sitting in darkness. And so it says, it'll give light to everyone in the house when you let it shine. It says, in the same way, listen to it, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise what? Your heavenly Father. He says, listen, when they see your light, they see your good deeds, he said, what it's going to do is bring glory to your heavenly Father. Listen, why? Because God is light. God is in good deeds. God is in doing good. Amen? And so we got to say, well, you know, I am the light of the world. And, you know, we need to realize that. We're the light. Think about it. We're the light of the world. We're the light. And the only thing that can dispel darkness is light. If I had no lights in my office, I would have a hard time seeing anything, because we have no windows or nothing in my office. So if I cut those lights out, I can't see anything. But if I turn the lights on, then I'm able to see, at least to make the right choice if I want to. See, people need a choice between light and darkness. But if they don't have the choice, they don't see God's good. Listen, some people won't serve God because they don't see that He's good. What's the benefit for me serving God? What's the purpose of me serving God? You know, I really never had those questions in my life because I really was never raised up by choice that I really didn't do to seek the light. I lived in the darkness. And at any time, I had the opportunity to get the light turned on. Remember it got turned off in Adam? It got turned back on in Jesus? I had opportunities to get my light turned on while I was a teenager. I just didn't do it. I wouldn't do it. People told me about Him. Told me about Jesus. Told me about the light. But I just refused to let it turn on or come into my life. And, you know, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I just feel like I'm supposed to. Because the Lord dealt with me a while back about people, whether they're born again or not. And I don't judge anybody. First of all, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise the Lord, glory be to God. But I told the story about when we was at that coffee house, and I know Eddie's sitting back there, my brother, because he was with me at that time, and several other our friends. And these girls that was in our school was with the Baptist church there, and they sit there and they said, would y'all like to meet Jesus? Would y'all like to make Jesus Savior? Well, I don't know, remember what all they said. That's so long, many years ago. And so we sit there, and And we went through the prayer. They prayed with us. They said, if you'll pray this prayer, you'll be saved. And we prayed that prayer. And I'm not being rude or nothing, but it meant nothing to me. It didn't mean nothing to my brother. And it meant nothing to the other guys that we was with. You say, how do you know? Because nothing changed in our lives. Nothing changed in our lives. Nothing. In fact, I didn't hardly even give it another thought. Did you, Eddie? Did we think about that much? We never discussed it, did we? I don't think we walked out and said, man, wasn't that cool? Man, we all just got to come out of darkness into light. We never said that. I mean, because it didn't have any bearing on our life. It didn't change us at all. I had a motorcycle wreck at 17 years old. They didn't expect me to live. If I would have died, I would have went straight to hell. I didn't meet Jesus till March the 5th, 1978, when I was, 21, 22 years old. And then He made a dramatic impact on my life and changed me forever. Why? Because I was sitting in darkness, and then light came, and I got out of the darkness, and I started seeking more light. Right? You know, God wants us to be a light, standing out and doing good works, and the whole reason why is not for people to pat us on the back and say, oh, look what a good guy you are now. No, so they can lift their hands up and say, what a great God our Father is. Huh? My God, if God could do that for him, surely He'll do it for me. Huh? people look at our lives and think, look what God did for Frank. If God did that for Frank, He'll do that for me. If God did that for you, He would do it for them. And I'm telling you, people need a hope out there, and our hope is in God. And so He said that we're the light of the world, but it's not to be hidden under a basket, but to be set upon a lampstand for everybody in the house to be able to see it. Look, if you will, I put this down, I wrote this down, said you have to let your light shine on purpose. You have to let your light shine on purpose. Look at John, St. John. And we're going to read verse 1. We've read this so many times, we're going to read it again. I know I'm running out of time, but anyway. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who's the Word? What's His name? Jesus. Jesus and the Word are together. They're one and the same. So when you visit in the Word, you're visiting with Jesus. It says, He was in the beginning with God. Talking about Jesus, the Word. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. We could say all things were made through the Word, and without the Word nothing was made that was made. In the Word was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or the Bible says the darkness could not put it out, or the darkness could never extinguish it. It could never overpower it. So the Word, the light on the inside of us, cannot be overpowered or put out by darkness. So that's why it's important that we get it in us. I have people tell me all the times, well, I don't watch the news because it depresses me. Well, you know, I do watch the news, not a whole lot, but I watch it every now and then just see what's going on, but it don't depress me. Because I have put the light of the Word in me that I know the truth. And I know what the outcome's going to be. In fact, it makes me, Brenda, just want to shout a little bit because I know old Jesus is about to bust that eastern sky wide open. I mean, when all this is going on in the world, we might as well look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. And it just tells me our timetable is wrapping up. The calendars are about to change. And I'm telling you, we're about to be raptured out of this place. But not before a great revival. We're going to see a great revival before Jesus comes back. Y'all believe that? Anybody got any loved ones need to get back right? You going to believe God they're going to get right? Well, we're going to believe God's going to tarry till that. In fact, He's the reason He ain't come, the Bible says, because He's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth. Some reason He hadn't come. What's the precious fruit of the earth? Our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, a lost. Hallelujah. And I believe He's given every opportunity in the world for people to see light. But listen, they're going to have to see God in the light of who He is. They got to see that God's a good God. God's good. I'm going to display Him as good. Huh? I'm not going to give Him credit for the terrible things that happen in the earth. Huh? You know, nowadays, they've always say a tornado or earthquake or any of these tremendous tragedies, there's nothing more than an act of God. You know, sometimes insurance companies will put in there a clause, unless it's an act of God. Well, they need to put in there something other than that, because that puts people thinking, well, if my car gets in a hailstorm, God must have thought I needed to get my car beat up. Well, that's not God. Huh? I found this out. No, don't stone me because I'm just going to tell you this. But I found out that I can take authority over some things and stop it. Huh? I'm not going to let a hailstorm come to my place. Some of y'all are looking at me like, oh, you're getting your touch. Listen, Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do, and greater things than these you shall do, because I go unto my Father. Remember, He stood up there and He rebuked the storm and it came calm? Huh? Several years ago, they were, you know, every time I don't know why I'm saying all these things. Y'all just bear with me. Every time the weather comes on, there's going to be a storm. They always said there's going to be high winds and hail. That's usually the first two things they're going to say, the high wind and hail. Very slight, Very minimum, but it's going to be high wind. And you know, when they start doing that, we always says, well, it's not going to come near our place in the name of Jesus. We're just going to get the rain out of it. We're going to get not get nothing else. But I remember something slipped in on us one day. And we're sitting there and we started hearing this. And we thought, uh-oh, that sounds like hail. So I looked out the window and I looked out the back, first of all, and I saw my horses running like crazy because they're running all over there trying to get out of the hail. And then, when they run in the barn, it was hitting the barn, scaring them, so they'd run back out. They didn't know which way to go. Well, I went on one porch and Linda went on another porch and we commanded that hail to stop in the name of Jesus. We said, you're going to stop now and desist. I guarantee within seconds, it quit. It cut off. Within seconds, it just cut off. I remember a lady that went to our church one time and there was a Thornton hit, tornado hit Thornton, and Mike was, y'all probably remember that. It come right out outskirts there, Thornton, and that thing was headed straight for their house, straight for their house. And their daughter, she was little at that time, she was in the washroom and she was in there praying and declaring, I don't know what all she was saying. She'd been in this church a while. Maybe she was rebuking that thing and standing against it, whatever. And they said, as soon as that thing just come and just took another path and went another direction. Now, we're not wanting it to go to your house. In fact, I tell it to dissipate. I don't say, why don't you go visit Elijah or T over there? We don't want one of mine. No. I'm not trying to send it to you. I'm trying to cause it to stop. Jesus didn't say send it to somebody else. He stopped it. Remember Chip Brim. And where was that? Where that L5 hit? It was in Branson. It was in a. Was it Branson? It was somewhere over there. Branson in there. And it was an L5. What, about a mile wide? It was huge. I'm devastating, destroying everything in its path. He said when he went out there, his family was inside. And he said he went out on his front porch. He said he almost had to hold on to the post to keep from blowing away. And he said, I was fighting fear and everything else. He said, but I pointed at that thing. And I said, you will not touch my house. You will not come near my house in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house. And he said this, not one shingle will be removed off of my house. Not one shingle. And he said, meteorologist in that deal said they seen something they'd never seen before in the history of a tornado. He said that tornado stopped dead still and went the other direction. And it was on the path right to his house. And he said not one shingle blew off of his house. Not one shingle. And then he was out there ministering to everybody else that lost everything they had. It destroyed and demolished every house. But one person that stood on their front porch and said, you will not touch my home. Amen. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home. Amen. Listen to me, and I'm just going to quit. Tornadoes are not of God. Hurricanes are not of God. Earthquakes are not of God. But there's a prevailing going on in the earth today. The earth's prevailing. And I heard Creflo Dollar say this several years ago. He said, we hadn't seen the worst hurricanes yet. We hadn't seen the worst tornadoes yet. We hadn't seen the worst earthquakes yet. As this earth is prevailing before waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I'm not claiming none of them things understand, but I do claim my rights as a child and a covenant man that I can claim light in the midst of darkness. And I can watch God show up and show out. Now, if this blows your mind or whatever, just think about it a little bit. Read the Word of God and find out what Jesus said was in our authority to do. So many people don't understand their authority or their rights, so they never use them. They never claim the blood. They never claim the name. They never claim the Word. And they never stand on their two feet and say, listen, I am not going to accept this in the name of Jesus. We're going to see the power and the glory of our God manifest in Jesus' name. Verse 10, I'm going to continue, and then verse 6 rather, let me read this and I'll quit. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right or the privilege to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John came to be a witness for the light, Jesus. God does not want us in darkness. He wants us in light. He don't want us to be ignorant concerning the Word. He wants us to be knowledgeable concerning the Word of God. And He wants us to know He's good God. Say it with me. God's a good God. Aren't we glad we serve a good Father? That's, you know, I guess that's why I love that song so much that says you're a good, good Father. When it comes on and I'm listening, I just want to just worship Him and praise Him because you're a good, good Father. God, you're so good. Isn't God good? Don't you just love Him? Hallelujah. I couldn't love somebody. I didn't know if He's going to beat me up tomorrow or knock me down or put sickness or disease on me or take all my money from me or take my home, take my children, take my my family. I'd have a hard time. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I'm saying it was hard. It would be hard to. But see, when I read my Bible, I find out that's not the Father I serve. That's not God I'm serving. That's not the one who brought me out of darkness into light. He's a good God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above is what it says in the book of James. And God can't be tempted by evil, neither does He tempt no man with evil. So if God can't be tempted by evil and He has no evil, how can He display evil? If God, there's no darkness in God, how can He display darkness? It's impossible. God is good to me. God is good to you. Am I right? If you ever question, why don't you just read the Bible and ask God to open your eyes of your understanding? And you know, I do that. I decided this year, I read the Word, I still read the Word, and I do that, and I pray, and I do all those things. But I made a decision. I'm going to read more, and I'm going to spend more time in the Word of God, and I'm going to spend more time getting wise in God. And I'm going to pray that prayer over myself, God, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Ephesians 1:15 through the remainder of that chapter prayer. And I'm not going to sit down with the Word of God and say, well, I don't understand it, but I'm going to read it anyway. No, I'm going to understand. And I always say, God, reveal to me what I need to know in this setting. Reveal to me what I need to get out of this reading today. Listen, if you didn't do nothing but read one chapter in the Bible a day, you're putting light in you. Amen. You're putting light in you. If you only read one chapter a day, you put light in you. Amen. Didn't know what the entrance of thy word brings light. We need light. In fact, the Bible says the Word of God in the Psalms 119, it says the Word will cause you to be wiser than your enemies. We need to be wiser than the devil. And the Word of God's going to give us that wisdom. Listen to me. The devil knows the Scriptures. He quoted them to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. I mean, not the Mount of Temptation. Yeah, the Mount of Temptation. He quoted them to Jesus, Psalms 91. And I'm telling you what, but the thing about it is there's no truth in him. Linda was bringing that. She said, I said this the other day. She said the devil told the truth about something. She said he didn't tell the truth because he can't tell the truth. He stated a fact. And that is the truth. He stated a fact, but he was quoting the Word of God. And listen, understand this, and let me quit with this. I hope, I kind of gave you a shotgun sermon this morning. You said, what's that? A BB here, a BB there, a piece here, a piece there. Jill Spring says it's like he preached like a fat man in a barbed wire fence, a point here and a point there. And so, but I don't guess I'm in a barbed wire fence this morning. But the thing about it is, we need to know the truth about God. We need to know the truth about God. And let me say this to you. It's not going to do you or me or nobody else any good to argue with somebody that's already got their mind set. I won't do it. I will not do it. In fact, the Bible tells us not to do it. You let your light shine, and eventually that darkness is going to start deteriorating in their lives. Amen. When light shows up, darkness has to flee. Am I right? Praise God. Father, we love you. And we thank you that we truly are the light of the world. And we have your light on the inside of us. You're part of our lives and we're part of yours. God, we're not going to just let our light shine occasionally, but we're going to let it shine to everybody in the house, to our relatives, to our friends, to our co-workers. God, to the employees, employers of the different places we go. God, we want them to give glory to you, not to pat us on the back and say how good we are, but that they look up at heaven and say how good he is. God, because you're a good God, and you're good to us, and we appreciate you so very much. Holy Spirit, I thank you for dealing with our hearts today, and God, leading us and guiding us and directing us, God, so we can know the truth, and we can know what's right, and we can know what's wrong. We can know what's of darkness and what's of light. That we'll give tribute to our Heavenly Father for what He's done and what He's doing. But God will also recognize what the Prince of Darkness is doing, and we'll stand and resist that in Jesus' name. What a good God you are. What an awesome and mighty God you are. We appreciate you so very much for this word this morning. God, I pray that somebody got a hold of something this morning that can bring change and life and light to their lives and their situation. Because nothing's going to change unless we put change in motion that's taking place on the inside of us. God, let your light shine. Let your light shine through us wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say. God, we want to be a light to the world. We appreciate you so much.